Hello, welcome. My name's Stephanie Bradley. Thank you for joining me. This podcast follows on from the message given at the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost for Oundle Baptist Church. The Feast of Pentecost happens 50 days after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that message, I concluded by saying that as believers today, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for at least three reasons. To display a godly character, to witness effectively, and to see God's supernatural endorsement of his word and our testimony in our church life and the wider world. These are the ideas I want to explore further today. In Galatians 5 verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives so that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Some situations remind us, don't they, of the presence of our old nature. Shutdown may be one of them. Under pressure, we may react tiredly, selfishly, impatiently, harshly, contentiously. But check out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives as described by Paul in Galatians 5 verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. These are the godly characteristics that attracted the crowds to Jesus. They attracted the sick and the vulnerable and the poor. But also those who had everything but found it meant nothing. These are not facets that we easily display of our own accord. Watch any two-year-old fighting for a toy and then hiding it from the others, or hitting someone over the head with the toy because they came too near. Notice a two-year-old screaming because they don't want something, or because they do. Watch slightly older children keeping someone out of a game, changing best friends every playtime, feeling hurt because of unfathomable exclusion. As a species, we do not naturally desire to live by the fruit of the Spirit. Our parents and society may help us to be less selfishly minded, but under pressure our normal reactions are often less than godly. And yet, as we come to know Jesus, we want to reflect his nature and not our own. This transformation is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to display patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, control of self, when that is the last thing we want. But why would we want to change, you might ask? These changes bring about joy, love, and peace of ourselves and for ourselves, in our families and in our communities. In pursuing reconciliatory behaviour, we are reflecting God and the work of the Spirit is recognisable in our lives. It is God's wonderful idea, as expressed in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 to 5, to transform the world through transformed people. And 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let's not ignore the gift of the Holy Spirit, which unfolds the abundant spiritual life God in his love and wisdom wants for each of us. Now we come to our second need for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, namely, to be witnesses. In Matthew 24, Jesus commanded his disciples to be witnesses to the end of the earth. What is a witness? It is one who tells another what he has seen and heard of a particular incident or person. So when I was a juror a couple of years ago, we took great care to listen closely to what the witnesses were saying in order to assess that what was being said about the accused was the truth. When we tell others about the truth of who we believe Jesus to be and the part he has played in God's plan for each one of us to be reconciled to God, and when we tell others about our personal experience of that relationship, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us the wisdom to know what and how much to say, the boldness to speak or not to speak. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit which will highlight to the listener something about what we say, so that it takes seed in their heart and mind. The beginning of a quest. The beginnings of faith will all arise from our efforts through the work of the Holy Spirit. Back to the courtroom. Of course, if the evidence in a courtroom is strongly in favour of the accused, the prosecution will work hard to discredit the witness by pointing to their unsuitable or unstable character. Our listeners may do the same. Yes, you're telling me this about Jesus, but I know you hold grudges, tell lies, charge too much, depend on an addiction, etc., etc. But we have seen how the Holy Spirit works to transform our character, and our character should not belie our words. Or our witness will be easily questioned, and our words may not be effective. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, before they tried to obey his command to be witnesses to all they had seen and heard, and to minister in power as he had done. We need the Holy Spirit's infilling, just as they did. God sends the Holy Spirit not only for our transformation or for the effectiveness of our witness, but to display his supernatural power through us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not a single entity, but it is many gifts within a gift. Each of us is blessed with natural talents and gifts, which we may develop or lay dormant. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are of a heavenly nature, supernatural. They are of God. In the Old Testament, God had given them to prophets, priests, and kings, leaders of his people, and to others whom he desired to bring about his plan. But in our era, God has a different plan. This plan was prophesied in Joel 2, verse 28, hundreds of years before Jesus. The plan was this: the Spirit and its gifts are to be poured out on all people, sons and daughters, young and old, irrespective of status. Only one condition: belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. These include the ability to speak in an unknown language, as did the original disciples of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Often this is used for prayer or praise, but if it is used in public, there needs to be the gift of the interpretation alongside it. There's the gift of prophecy, revealing God's plan and purpose in a situation. This may come through words, dreams, pictures, or song. There's a specific healing gift when God uses our prayer and acts to heal someone supernaturally, beyond medical knowledge or understanding. The gift of miracles, where as we pray, the norm is reversed as Jesus stilled the storm. The gift of knowledge, something someone would only know about you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom, which may give a supernatural understanding and discernment of a situation or when we're reading God's word. The gift of faith, which enables us to confidently, expectantly and prayerfully wait for God to act. There is the gift of helps and leadership, which are the bedrock of many communities, if they are carried out in the Holy Spirit. Some are gifted very specifically for the equipping and leading of others in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. They have a special responsibility before God. These gifts are given not generally for ourselves, but for the building up of the church, and for the church to recognise that each member has a vital role in our community and is carrying not only the love of Christ, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was just the start of a desire by God to empower his people through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be transformational believers in Christ, ever moving towards godliness, hearing him and acting in his power, to be effective, joyful witnesses, seeing his kingdom extended as others come to faith, to be supernaturally equipped for supernatural living among the people of God and in the wider world for his glory. We, the disciples of Jesus in 2020, can only fulfill God's plan if we are willing to be daily filled to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. Amen.